We are the testimonies. He says, show yourself. Go in verse 4, it says, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go and show. Everybody say, go and show. Because people don't need your words. They need you to show. They need the reality. They're not just empty words. Paul said that we do not preach empty words in Thessalonians. He said, when I came to you not with words only, but in what? The Spirit and in power of God. Because when a person has a testimony, there's something in there, in the Spirit and in the power of what they're saying. You know they've been there. You know they've been there. They're not just faking it. Come on. I could tell you all day about Paris. I've never been there. I can't tell you what it's like. I know somebody who's been to Paris. And if I started telling you all about Paris, they'd sit there cracking up. Why? Because I haven't been there. And I'm acting like I know what I'm talking about. We remember things that make sense, and we remember things that we experience. And so when I say that you're a souvenir, it's more than just repeating words. We are a memory of what God did in our lives, and it's so important that we go and show, not just go and tell. Go and show. Show yourself to them. Tell them your story. Show them your souvenir. For every one of those souvenirs, I could have told those kids what? A story about what happened when we were there. Like Jewel Cave. Right, Danny? Such a different place. And did you notice Eva? Eva was helping me. She was really good. When she saw the Myrtle Beach thing, what did she do? Right? Did you see her light up? Did you see? I just came from there. I got to go for my birthday. Where? Myrtle Beach. Did you bring a souvenir? Yes. Yes. What was it? A keychain. Yes. See what I'm saying? Why? Why do we like these things? Because of where we've been and what happened to us there. And when we meet Jesus, we have a story that is something we can show and not just tell. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. Praise God. Now, wow. Offer the gift and do it as a proof. The term testimony, though, interestingly enough, if you said the word witness or testimony to somebody, a Jewish person in the time of Jesus, okay, what would it mean to them? Now, I use the word souvenir because when we think about a testimony or a witness, what do we usually think about? Court. Come on, say it again. A court case. You get called as a witness, and you have to go to court, and you got to tell them what you saw and experienced. And you have to testify in court. But that is not necessarily the way the disciples thought of the word witness. Turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1. This is the famous passage. Acts chapter 1. Okay, and you have your Bibles with you, right?
Yes, sir.
Good. It means you got to come with your sword. We're going to start with verse 6 to give a little context. Okay, Acts chapter 1, starting with verse 6, we're going to read all the way to verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. And I'm either seeing a swipe or I'm hearing a page turn. Okay. So when they had come together, they asked him, the disciples asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" Jesus said to them, "It's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority." I love that. We wanted to answer the question, and you know what they had to learn from that question? You know what they learned?
None of your business.
You know, some of the most important things for us to know is what we ain't supposed to know. Whoa! That'll preach. Praise God. Come on. Stop asking your questions. Ask the right question, and God will bless you. Right? He said it's not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be my testimony, my witnesses. You will be my souvenirs in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. Wow. Very cool. You'll be my souvenirs. You will be an example of somewhere I've been where I can pull it out of my bag and say, hey, Barbara, I've got this on my refrigerator. It may look like Cape Hatteras Lighthouse, but this is where Barbara got saved. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. She probably got saved in Tennessee. See what I'm saying? And Barbara herself is that souvenir. And Jesus has her in his collection on his refrigerator in heaven. Come on, don't you know there's got to be a fridge in heaven? Right?
For all those kids.
Come on now, we meet God in the kitchen more. We meet God in the kitchen more than any other place of the house. Maybe the shower is a second place. God talks to me anyway. We don't want to talk about any more play, but shower, the kitchen number one, shower number two, and then probably my study somewhere in there. The tractor, yes, the tractor is a good place to meet God, by the way. Lawnmower. Okay, so you shall be my witnesses. Now here's the thing about being the witness there. What did it mean to them? Was it primarily, were you my court case? Are you my testifiers in heaven? Is that what it's all about? Were you somebody that just would get out there and tell somebody like a witness, like you ever heard of a celebrity endorsement for a product, right? You get somebody very important, they say, "Well, I've used that product, praise God, and it works." And you buy that product because the person that said it worked, you believe them. Right? You're not getting snake oil. But the number one use, if you go back to the Torah or the first five books of Moses, the word testimony is used only of one thing. Can you guess? No, don't guess. I'll tell you. The two tablets that Moses got on the mountain that was in the Ark of the Covenant. Those were the testimony. They called them the testimony. So that's the only way that word is used in the first five books of Moses. The two tablets. The most important thing that happened on Mount Sinai, out of all the things that happened when Moses met God, is God said, "I'm going to write my finger on these stones," and he inscribed the Ten Commandments on those two tablets. And Moses took those Ten Commandments, and God said, "Set them before the presence of the Lord," and he called them the testimony. The tablets themselves were called the witness. The tablets themselves were called the testimony. Now, what is that all about? Wouldn't you think it'd be like a teaching? Come on, I want the Ark of the Teaching. or the ark of the rules.
But it's not the ark of the rules.
It's not called the ark of the commandments. It wasn't called the tabernacle of the commandments or the tabernacle. It was called the tabernacle of the witness or the testimony. In other words, God chose a name for those commandments that means something. So let's go back to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He said, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said, no, you will be my tablets. You will be my tablets. When Moses came down from the mountain, he had something with him that he was carrying that was a testimony that he was with God. It was a souvenir. It was something tangible that you could touch. You could actually touch the two tablets, right? You could actually read the two tablets. Some people share their testimony by writing a book. Some people share their testimony by speaking on a microphone. Some people share their testimony in any number of ways. But it is something tangible that came out of your encounter with God. And Moses said, what can I tell them? What can I show them? What can I give them so that they will have faith? See, the only way to faith is not through rules. Come on now. The way to faith is not by rules. The way to faith is by witness, by encounter, by the presence of God. Faith came to me. Faith came by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But Paul said it is not a dead letter. It is the living word. Who is the living word? Jesus. He is the living word. So it's a person, not a paragraph. This is what it means to have the testimony. So when he said to the disciples, you shall be my witnesses, he wasn't thinking about court so much as he was thinking about Moses coming down from the mountain and saying, Peter, you're one of those tablets. John, you're one of those tablets. You are the proof that I have been to heaven and I've been resurrected. You are living proof. Living proof. Not dead letter. Turn to your neighbor and I want you to say that. I am living proof and not a dead letter. Amen. You shall be my tablets. You shall be my tablets. You shall be my living word. You are the living word. You are the living testimony. I got saved by a Swedish missionary who gave his testimony. And through that person, I met Jesus. When I saw him, listen now, this is very, very important. When he began to speak, I didn't hear his voice, really. You got to hear me on this. I heard Jesus' voice, and I knew it. No one had to tell me this wasn't God speaking to me. He spoke. And when this man began to share his word of the Lord, I didn't hear this man because he said it in a very funny Swedish accent. I've already told you that story. I heard Jesus speaking to me. And just like John, you tell me so much, John. When he saw the eyes of that man, whose eyes did you see? God has given you the voice of Jesus. God has given you the look of Jesus. God has given you the touch of Jesus. Where you touch somebody, listen, If you touch somebody and they get healed, who is really touching them? You or them? Come on now. Am I healing somebody? No. So who's really touching them? Jesus. So your hand can be the hand of Jesus if you are committed to do the will of God. That's the key. It's the key. Will you do the will of God? Now I'm going to get you back to the leper. What was the key to the leper's healing? He says, if you will. Why could Jesus send him on a prophetic mission? He just didn't say, okay, you're healed, see ya. Right? Did you notice that? You're healed. He didn't say, okay, see ya. He said, now go and show. Why did Jesus think it was okay to tell the leper to go and show? What's the answer? Because the leper said, if you will, I can. You can. He had already said, I will do whatever you want. If you will. Do you see that? He didn't say, Jesus, it's my will that you heal me because I know you got the power. Do you see the difference? Amen. Amen. Yes. There's a huge difference between us thinking, piggy bank, go get it. It's a big difference between fruit on the tree, I'm going to get it. Now, can I just get it? Because it's, that's different. But he began with the will of God. And once he said, it's your will, he learned how to live in the will of God. Now, I'm not talking about that sick religious doctrine that says you have to ask God for something if it's will, if the word says it clearly. Okay, you got the difference. That's not religion. That's sick. Okay, we're not talking about that. So when we talk about the will of God, we are talking about that which God wants. But we have to give him the choice. What did he say to the apostles? He said, it is not for you to know what the Father has placed in his will or authority. It's not for you to know. So there are some things that you have to learn first as a disciple. What is in my will for me to do, and what's in your will for you to do, God? We've got stuff to do with that we can ask according to our will, and God can do things for us, but we have to know the will of God first before we can do anything. Now, I'm going to give you a couple scriptures. If you want to know about the testimony and you want to read more about it, just look in Exodus chapter 25. Actually, 25:22, it says the ark was called the Ark of the Testimony in Exodus 25:22. God gave Moses the two tablets called the testimony. He named them the testimony. He'd say, come down with the tablets. He said, you're coming down with the testimony. Exodus chapter 31, verse 18. Okay? And that word for testimony was only used in the first five books of Moses concerning those two tablets. Okay, now, wow. Now I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to wrap it up, actually. Because I feel like I've shared my heart with you. And we're going to read the first couple verses, and then we'll wrap it up. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Praise God. Paul said this. Verse 1. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 1. Are we beginning to commend ourselves together, or do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you from you? You yourselves are our letter of recommendation written on our hearts to be known and read by all. And you show, everybody say the word show. You're supposed to go and show, right? You show that you are a letter. You show it. You didn't tell it. Delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tables of human hearts. So Paul even uses that analogy about being a witness. You are our epistle. He uses the word epistle or letter. You are our souvenir. You're our message. You're the word. You are a living word to people. You are a living word to people. Now, I believe in getting Bibles into people's hands. I do totally believe in that. But they need you. They need you to be their Bible. God wants to send living stones, human hearts, written not by ink, but what? One. The hand of God. God, people need you. They need your testimony. They need your testimony. They need what you've got to say, Stephen. They do. Because there's, if it comes from you, they're going to go, wow, Stephen, he's a librarian. He lives in Ridgeway. Man, God's speaking to me through this man. I can't believe this. It's not my voice. It's not his voice. It's the voice God speaking to me. Wow. Did you notice there are two tables of stone? And I want to give you a picture in your own mind. When Jesus came, I want you to hear me this in the right way. He did not say there were 10 commandments. He said there were two. Really one. So I want you to understand something. It's love God and love people. Two tablets. Tablets, whatever. Let's say it right. And we are God's testimony of love to people. We are. How do people know Jesus loves them? Through you and me. That's how they know. Why? Well, if God can love John Peterson, he can love anybody. Right? Aren't you glad God does not have a hard-to-love category in his book? Sorry, that person's really hard to love. He doesn't have that. He doesn't feel that way. And here's the thing about it that's so important. If they don't meet you, Kenny, they won't know the will of God. Because when you show them the love of God, they're going to have to make a decision. Does that make sense? Something about the love of God makes us encounter the will of God. This is so important. When you get the word of God, many times the love of God goes to people. They have to kind of choose. Now, what do I do now? How do I handle this? What am I going to do? Jesus is speaking in a room and I can't get in. So now what? Okay, let's break the roof down. Right? Jesus, I can feel this love. And Jesus is walking down the street and I can't get to him because I'm really short. Climb up a tree. Paul's trying to persecute people. And he's like on a mission to stop this new thing that's like, he's got to stop it. And then he has this encounter on the road. And then he's got, okay, what do I do now? Who are you, Lord? Did he ask? He said, by the way, he already knew he was Lord. But he had to know who. Who is this Lord? He's going to find out through you. People are going to find out through you. As you love them, as you do the will of God, as you make that commitment, God wants to use you. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So just be a good souvenir of the power and the encounter of God that he's given you. And I, you know what I'd love you to do sometime? Can you just tell someone your testimony before you go? Give them some kind of testimony to them. Share something in your life. Do it today before the day's out. Tell somebody in your restaurant. Tell somebody here. Tell somebody when you go home. Call someone on the phone. Tell them how God did something for you. He made himself real to you. How he changed your life. Because they need your testimony right now. Maybe Randy needs your testimony. At the hospital room. You know what I'm saying? I'm not physically, maybe not there, but maybe a phone call. You hear what I'm saying? We need to hear our testimony. And that's what I love about that scripture. It says they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Amen.
Jubilee, this is the year of Jubilee. Lame now walk, blind now see. This is the year of Jubilee.